Can I jump in first? Can I jump in first?
Is this your segment?
I want to do an Am I Wrong myself. Can I just do...
Well, then you need the open.
Okay, let's go.
It's that time of the week where we get to hear these special few words from Chad Hartman.
Is that disruptive? It's going to be over quickly?
No. Not those words. Chad will use those later. I meant these ones.
God, Dave, you're right. You're so right, Dave. You're amazing.
Yeah, those are the ones. Let's play Am I Wrong?
Let's just stick with that. That's fine.
Shohei Ohtani has the greatest separation in every single sport on the planet from him to the second best guy. Nobody else is that much better than the second best at their sport. Go ahead. Hit the little jingle. Hit the little sound bite you like to play.
No. Not that one.
Not that one.
Am I wrong?
Thank you.
That's the one.
He, yesterday, just an average day, 3 homers, 10 RBIs. Now it's 51 stolen bases.
Pretty good.
51 homers.
Is he a best player ever?
If he keeps doing it for a couple more years, yes, case closed. He's also a Cy Young Award type pitcher, and he's got Tommy John. Now, Dave Roberts has got to be under the gun, right? They made the playoffs now 12 straight years.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers fan line's broken out here briefly. But they've only won one World Series. And now, Carlos and the Astros were cheating. But he's only won one. Like a month ago, he was asked, because now Shohei's throwing a little bit on the side. Could you actually pitch him in the playoffs? And I think his comment was like, I wouldn't eliminate that as a possibility. No chance they should do that.
No.
Just give him the months.
Swing the bat.
Think about what he's doing, and he's one of the 3 or 4 best starters in the game. Who else has that separation?
Joey Chestnut.
I think Kobayashi is closer.
No, and their fan, a Netflix duel, he beat him by 17 dogs.
Tell me who's close to this guy, because he's the best hitter in the game. And he's one of the 3 or 4 best starting pitchers in the game. Who is even close to that guy?
Katie Ledecky. Simone Biles.
Mm-mm. Simone doesn't win everyone.
You're right. She toppled on the...
Yeah?
On the beam?
I forget now. Katie Ledecky, for what she does and how long she's done it.
For just being a distance swimmer.
Right. It gets a little narrow casting, though, right? Because there's so much swimming out there. I'm saying in all of the sport of baseball, you're not saying Katie's the best swimmer and second place isn't close. But what she does in distance swimming, yeah.
When you see her lapping the field,
yeah, literally,
1600.
When she stops for like a minute, goes, all right, I'll give you a little chance here.
Just going to grab a Gatorade. I'll be fine.
Who else do we have? 651-461-9226. I don't think it's possible to overplay how amazing this guy is.
It's incredible. It really is. I mean, you know when he's on base, he is a threat to steal, and you cannot stop him.
And
you cannot find a way to pitch around him, aside from just walking him.
What if I just said this? There is a guy who at times you can make the argument, he is the best starting pitcher in the game, and oh, by the way, he also steals 50 bases in a year. I'm not even talking about his home run power right now.
Yeah.
Not even. You would say that's not possible. Because... the first time you saw him pitch, if I said, yeah, he's eventually going to Major League Baseball, he's going to steal 51 bases, you would say, pass me the one hitter.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Bonds in his prime, you could picture on him and walk him and put him on first base. You do that to Shohei, he's on second base 2 pitches later. He's already in scoring position.
Bonds younger did steal,
mm-hmm.
But prime Bonds, when all of a sudden magically got bigger.
Big head. Had the big head.
Big head. Head not as big now. Can't imagine why. Not as big. All right, that was my one attempt.
I don't think it was very good.
It was tremendous.
feel like you took the populist approach, said something that was very difficult to disagree with. That's easy. That's easy to do, Chad. It's not easy to be a little edgy. Since we're starting sports, let's start with a little sports
topic. Edgy.
I'm going to fix the NFL season for you. You know why?
Yeah, because they're struggling with ratings. Mm. Yeah, nobody's paying attention.
You know what? Nobody is, because nobody wants to be stuck inside this Sunday when it's going to be beautiful, sunny.
We open the doors.
70 degrees. Yeah, I'm talking about the TV watchers. The TV watchers, sure. Open the doors at the bank. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful summer Sunday. Okay, so it'll be the first summer of fall.
It's
but,
the first
Sunday
fall,
of fall, but that's fine. Yeah. We've had summer Sundays here. Let's fix the season. No more games in September. Week one is now the first Sunday in October. Stick with me. Stick with me. I'm fixing more than
ridiculous.
Get on
already.
It. Get on board.
It's ridiculous.
Get on board. That gives you 13.
You're asking the king of the world to adjust. Everybody else says to adjust for the king.
The king is speaking.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm
week one begins the first Sunday, October. That gives you 13 Sundays till you get to the first of the year. You know what you do then? You take a break.
What?
Everybody gets the bye week, and they don't just get a bye week, Chad, because this whole rotating, four teams at a time, it's dumb. It's dumb. You have an even number of teams.
Well, we're taking January off?
We're taking January off.
Oh, God.
Because nobody wants to play football, and nobody wants to go out and watch football. January is off for two reasons. Number one, teams can get healthy for the final stretch. And number two, you put the trade deadline right in the middle of January, wheel and deal, Kwesi can make a deal. All of a sudden, we've got time to trade for a quarterback. We're a team that's the playoff ready.
Did
Shaletta
spike your cake?
No, I'm on board. Stick with it. Stick with it.
You're on board with your own idea.
Stick with it. Then you've got time to get all these players integrated in your system.
Yeah.
Everybody's ready to go for the finals.
Do we start in April or when do we start?
No, you're back in February. 4 weeks sprint to the playoffs. Then you got 4 weeks in March of your playoffs, Super Bowl. No bye week between the conference championships and the Super Bowl because that's dumb. And let's be honest. It'll
the Super Bowl is April?
No, the Super Bowl is going to be the final week in March. And then you don't have to pay as close of attention to March Madness because that's boring anyway.
Am I wrong?
I just fixed it for you. You're welcome. You're welcome, America.
You fixed something that is dominating right now.
You want the NFL to sit on their laurels?
Yeah. When your laurels are that high and tight and perky, they're excellent laurels.
Is it good to have perky laurels?
I think they are.
Okay.
They're very good.
I'm one to improve laurels. I feel like laurels can always have room for improvement. We're fixing the NFL season.
It's so utterly ridiculous. I don't even know where to start. I mean, so you're deferring to September for baseball playoffs? Is that why you're stepping away from September?
No, I'm stepping away from September because I want to go outside and enjoy my summer Sunday and not have to worry about...
It's really hurting him so far in September.
Oh, just wait till you see the ratings throughout February and March when everyone's stuck inside anyway.
You do realize that there are other states where they don't have the same weather as us, right?
Excuse me?
I mean, you don't realize every state. It's, in February, I don't know. I mean, think of a place. Palm Desert.
Yeah,
it's pretty nice.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You're
terrible. Dumb.
Southern part of the country, that's you. All of us north of the Mason-Dixon line, they're dead to you. You don't care about us.
January 25th to March 25th. That's about right. Hit the button. Coming up on Jason's show, he's on till 5:30 leading up to Twins and Red Sox. Dan Hayes from The Athletic, off and on with Jason on Fridays. He's on. And Lindsey Whalen. Lynx playoffs coming up. Outstanding regular season. Absolutely in the mix to try to win another championship. So Whalen on with Jason later today. Matthew Collar's 10 minutes away on the purple. We're in the middle of Am I Wrong? I offered up a great one. Dave offered up one that was...
tremendous.
A giant pile of poop. It was so bad.
Let's talk about class warfare.
Mm.
Class warfare specific to airline travel.
In other words, you had to spend some money? Is that what we're going to get to here?
No. This is not about me spending money. This is about something that just I find annoying.
Okay.
So you've got your typical signs, you know, first class versus coach, your exclusive lounges, your you know, TSA pre-check versus the standard. Sure.
Your clears.
Mm-hmm. All of that. But here's the one that is was annoying me the most in my travels last week. And it's actually something that everyone can afford. So it's not so much a financial class. It's used as a status symbol, I believe, to show how often you fly, just how experienced you are as a traveler navigating the friendly skies. And you know what it is, Chad? It's the neck pillow. That dopey little crescent moon shape thing
Thank
that
you
got to bring to the airport, and you can't put it in your bag. No, no, no. You got to strap it to the outside to show all
while
the people.
You're walking.
Or, yes, even better, while you're walking, wear it around your neck while you're navigating the halls of the terminal just to show everyone I've got my neck pillow ready. If you really think that dopey little thing is a must-have travel accessory, you have been duped. Big neck pillow. Been lining their pockets with billions of dollars from the suckers that really think that piece of foam is the key to getting some good sleep on the red eye to Seattle. You're all a bunch of ridiculous people. Not that one.
What's going on today?
Oh, not hitting the thing right.
Am I wrong?
That's the one.
Yeah. Normally it's late at night. You don't hit the thing right. Now you've never been more right.
Greatest scam ever pulled on the travel Braggart community.
It's a joke. I think the biggest joke is when people walk around they're walking around at the airport with the thing on.
Yes.
Like they think they're somehow getting benefit to their neck when you're walking with it.
Either that or they might need to take a nap right there.
Like they're just going to lean up against the wall. No. I have some neck issues. I don't have a perfect neck. I know you. Let me look at your neck. Kind of a longer neck. You got a little bit.
Call me a giraffe?
I think you are kind of giraffe-esque. What would be below a giraffe? Not quite, because you're not that long.
A zebra's got a good neck.
Zebra. You're zebra-like.
An ostrich.
Yeah.
Llama.
Text in 651-461-9226. Are there animals that have long necks or humans? When you think of a human who has a long neck, is it Peyton Manning? And he's got the big forehead, too.
I always thought of, remember Merton Hanks, the safety for the 49ers?
There we go. Because he would do that, bobblehead-like thing, which would elongate the neck even more.
He had the big neck
Great
already.
Great callback.
Thank you.
Great callback. No, you're upset. I want to get into this business because you're willing to buy that I have the Atlantic Ocean in my backyard. And by the way, you feel this, they're not comfortable at all.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. And then that you see them, they lean there and their kind of face scrunches a little bit. They're thinking they're about to get glee and happiness and relief. And then they lean back. Oh, God, there's no room. No, you're a bunch of suckers. Have a cocktail or two, you know.
Yeah.
Loosen up a little bit.
It's fine.
See a chiropractor, maybe surgery.
Somebody sitting nearby you can hit on.
Yeah.
It's fine.
If you're hitting on somebody wearing that neck thing, how does a cold night sound? Because nobody's spooning with you. No chance. You want to make a run at somebody? You know you're making a run at later? Yourself.
That's right.
Nobody is attractive wearing the neck thing.
One more item.
Can you? Who is the most beautiful woman on the planet right now?
No, you'd say Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
Who might argue?
Halle Berry in a neck brace is not attractive.
See ya, Hallie.
Yeah, Hallie.
Moving along.
Yeah, if Hallie shows up tonight at the house, at the door, I've been waiting for this moment, but she's wearing the neck brace, I shut the door.
Yeah, you've got standards.
I have standards. I'll encourage her to come back without the neck brace. Clooney, as good as Clooney looks in his 60s neck brace, no, he's just a dime a dozen.
So as we landed at the gate at LAX last week and then back at MSP, it happened, both spots. Seatbelt light goes off, and people, you know what I'm going to say.
Exactly.
From the back of the plane, and I'm quite serious when I say, at least specifically in L.A., there was a couple on a dead sprint.
Oh, my God.
Up, full out sprint up the aisle to get as close as they could to exit first. We need to get the commission, get the govs, get the feds involved in actually getting some rules and some consequences involved for people that try to skirt the deplaning process.
I have an idea, too, when you're done.
You stand up
only when the row in front of you is exiting. Before that, sit your butt down. That's rule number one.
Can I ask about that one?
Sure.
Could you potentially, it's like three rows ahead, so if you need to lean up and get your overhead, you're ready to go.
There's enough time when the row in
okay.
front, because you've got typically six people. You've got a few seconds.
Got time.
You're good. Rule number two, if you have to walk back even one row to get your bag, you stay put until the whole plane is
Thank
gone.
You. I'm all for it.
That is number two.
I would say number two, you only can put your bag above your aisle. If not, pay the $25.
Number three, if you call someone and are speaking for more than 20 seconds on the phone, that phone can be confiscated by any nearby passenger, and you must pay $100 to get it back.
I was going to say shot. I hate that.
I don't really think we should have firearms on
the
plane.
Hey, I landed. Yep, we just landed. Yeah, I'll be there about 30 minutes. Was I literally holding the phone up there for... Did you see a little acting right there?
That was very good.
Thank you.
That was Pesci, De Niro, all of them.
Yeah.
It was really good. And finally, for the people that I was speaking of, the runners up the aisle, if you're caught cutting in line to the exit, no questions asked, you just get no-fly list privileges for 10 years. No-fly list.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
The only exception, if this plane is this plane is notably late, hour plus late, and there are people who they can document who are trying to catch a connecting flight. You know what the problem is with that idea? Everybody stands up.
Yes.
Everybody stands up. They don't show any respect to the honesty of the true connectors. You want to know why? They don't believe them.
You know what?
They don't believe them.
If you're a connector, book a direct flight next time.
Among the techs, you should be a flight attendant. We're hiring. Would you like to be a flight attendant? What kind of flight attendant would you be?
I'd be very good.
I think you'd be very meticulous.
Want me to practice getting you a drink? A beverage order, sir?
Yeah. And then here's what I say. What do you have? And
on the sheet!
You've told me over and over.
You're done!
Just move right on. I was sitting with a couple. They were going to miss their connecting flight. Their plan was to do the same thing. I felt for them after I got to know them a little bit. Really wasn't their fault, but an interesting take on the problem. Kind of confused by that text. I think they should. Here's the deal. They'll announce if you're allowed to get up. If you're allowed to get up. What about this? The seatbelt, the lead flight attendant, you can only dream of being that person too, Dave.
Oh, please.
Has control of the seatbelt once you hit terra firma. During the flight, if you have to get up to go to the bathroom, whatever, you're fine. But once that wheels hit the ground again, they release the belt.
Oh, an automatic locking system.
So you can't get up early. And including, by the way, I don't need the person, if I'm an aisle person, and I don't need the person on the window standing up and kind of hunched over, unless they're a really short person like you with a long neck.
Please, 5'9" and a half.
And staring at me, why aren't you okay? Showing me your longer neck. You
got very good posture here.
It's staring at me like, why aren't you up? We're in row 34. We're going nowhere. That person needs to be also on the no-fly list for 10 years, too.
Sitting on the aisle, a fella got up and grabbed his massive backpack next to me across the aisle, turns around and just clocked me right in the forehead.
Geez.
People are laughing around.
It was funny.
Yes, he has no idea. He's literally spends the next 2 minutes with that thing laying into my face, and I'm just, help!
Actually, I would have liked seeing that. That is funny. Caller, next. Matthew is here. Purple Insider is a must. Friday mailbag. Great interviews throughout the week. Video analysis. Updates during the game. Immediate reaction after the game. Go to Purple Insider. Track it all down. Kyler, I'm listening to you even when you don't think I'm listening to you. I'm driving around last night, tuning into H Lake, and you're on. And I want to pick up on the conversation about Brian Flores. I think there are people in this town who still forget we have litigation taking place with Brian Flores still going after the National Football League. This goes back to What was going on with a hiring with the New York Giants? Brian Daboll gets the job. A Belichick text that was confusing. And Flores feeling like he didn't have an opportunity for that. You also had Flores and what was going on with the Miami Dolphins and their owner and losses and tanking for Tua. And so when Flores once again is the talk of this town because of the defense of their success against the ineptitude of the Giants and then the brilliance of the 49ers, the fear is going to be, okay, is he going to leave? And you said to H. Lake last night, Brian Flores will never get another head coaching job because of this suit. Expand on that.
Well, you know, maybe never is too aggressive because it's a long time.
Never's a long time, but, yeah.
But, you know, I think we've seen what happened when people contest the National Football League run by Roger Goodell and his group of owners. I mean, these are very powerful people when it comes to somebody's life like Brian Flores. And to be honest with you, I was concerned when he sued the league that he was never going to get any coaching job again. And thanks to Mike Tomlin, he was able to stay in the league for a year, let everybody kind of get over it, and then the Vikings could bring him in. But if Mike Tomlin doesn't have the courage to say, come join my coaching staff, are we talking about Brian Flores right now, or is he coaching Boston College defense with Bill O'Brien or something? Mm-hmm. I mean, this league did it to Colin Kaepernick when he challenged them. There has been plenty of opportunities for teams to add Colin Kaepernick. I'm sure right now he would be about the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, and yet he can't get a job even after doing a workout last year to show everybody that he was still in shape and his workout looked pretty good, but it was just never going to happen because if you go up against these guys, you're not going to win. And so Flores probably did sacrifice that opportunity, and then it didn't help his case when Tua came out and said that he had been mistreated, called him a terrible person. I mean, and every owner now is looking for who's going to be the quarterback whisperer, the Kevin O'Connell type, the Kyle Shanahan, the Sean McVay, the Matt LaFleur. And I don't think that what Flores brings to the table, kind of a gruff, intense, old-school mentality on the defensive side, is really attracting people to be a head coach. But, you know, that's pretty good for the Vikings. He deserves it. I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the league overall. But it's not usual that you could get a defensive coach of this caliber who can be here year after year after year. And, you know, Kevin O'Connell has talked about this throughout the offseason, that they were able to start packing more onto this defense and making it more complicated than it was even last year for offenses. And you see some of the guys who are here doing even more than they were asked to do last year. It's just been an incredible job by Brian Flores. So impressive. And when your defense plays like this, you go into a game against C.J. Stroud and you go, yeah, okay. Maybe they can win because you think that the defense is going to give you a chance every week.
So let's talk about C.J. Stroud, and let's talk about Flores' defense. News comes out today in the last hour. We knew Dallas Turner was out because of Dallas Turner. Thank you, Dallas. Appreciate that. Keep providing that candor. And then it sounds like Ivan Pace injured an ankle yesterday, so he's out. How much does that affect them against the Texans? And then let's get to the quarterback. Why is Stroud so good so early in his career?
Yeah, I think probably Dallas Turner may have had a short meeting with the coach dressing.
yes, that's correct. Let me tell the media about that when and if we want to.
Yeah, I know. I don't like when stuff like that happens because I don't want, you know, the player to be afraid to talk to the media in the future. But usually you're not supposed to give your own injury updates. But, you know, with Dallas Turner and Ivan Pace, Turner has been very much a role player, handful of snaps, which is what he should be at this point in his career when they have guys like Grenard and Van Ginkle who are stars. I think what makes up for it is how well Patrick Jones has played, and Jod Ward is probably the most underrated person on this defense. He's a free agent pickup that I didn't think about a whole heck of a lot. There was no emergency podcast when they signed Jod Ward, and yet he has really, really shown up. Another guy that Brian Flores has worked with, the backup linebacker is Kamu Grugier-Hill, who has been around quite a while. He won a Super Bowl with the Eagles back in 2017. He's played for a number of different teams. So they have an experienced backup there to take over for Ivan Pace. Pace is an impact player, but if you're going to lose somebody at any position, let it be one where it's a veteran who's been very solid in his career be the one who takes over for him. Not to say it's not a problem, but it might not be the same level of problem as if they lost a cornerback, for example, where I have no trust for the depth beyond those guys. And as far as C.J. Stroud goes, he just has everything, man. I mean, I think he's one of the most high intelligence players. He kind of reminds me of like when Peyton Manning came into the league. By his second year, he's already figuring out all defenses and everything. He has a stone cold element to him. Doesn't ever really seem to be very rattled by anything, and he has arm talent. And when you can combine intelligence, the ability to diagnose stuff, confidence in an offense, receivers who are extremely, extremely good, and then the arm that he has, then you've got yourself a superstar. I think this is, of all the quarterbacks that they're going to play for the entire season, this is probably the most difficult one.
All right, he also has a receiver named Diggs. I think that may ring a bell with Vikings fans. They might remember a certain catch against the New Orleans Saints. They might remember him getting upset. They might remember his absolute brilliance and what a great draft choice he turned out to be. When you think of Diggs' run here, what pops to mind, and how has Diggs fit in so far two games into his run in Houston after leaving Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, a few things with Stephon Diggs. I mean, one is that the draft pick turns out to be Justin Jefferson and maybe the greatest win-win trade that anyone has ever had, because the Bills won four straight division titles with him as their number one wide receiver. Of course, how it ended is always going to be a conversation. I think for me, I always looked at that as evidence for why you need a Kevin O'Connell and not a Mike Zimmer as your coach, because Mike Zimmer refused to communicate with Stephon Diggs. And Diggs, I mean, of all the players that I've been around through covering this team over the last almost decade now, I've been here a while, Diggs would go up there for most high intelligence players. So if someone like that wants to talk with you about your offensive philosophy, you should listen to them. He's out there. He's the one making the plays. And I think that we just jump so quickly with wide receivers to call them divas and everything else, and it loses all the nuance of what actually happened, which was Diggs was right, by the way. And not only that, but a lot of times with his sideline, his antics or whatever, and then the NFL films would release the audio, and he's asking Kirk Cousins to believe in himself. Like, okay, well, that doesn't really seem like what you guys are painting it as. He was one of the most competitive people, and sometimes, you know this, you've been around guys a long time in sports, sometimes competitiveness is not rational. It's not normal.
That's correct.
It's not behaving to social norms, and I think that Diggs has had a really difficult time throughout his career of containing that, and when things go wrong, I don't think he reacts always the way that you would want him to or the way that others do. But as far as the Texans offense, they have two other receivers who are deep threats, which allows him to just be that intermediate underneath get open guy. And man, if that's all Stephon Diggs has to do in your offense, you've got a really good set of wide receivers. So he is super dangerous in this game. Line him up in the slot. The route running is still masterful. He's not as fast as he used to be, but man, is he still quick in the short areas. It's going to be a huge challenge for them.
After watching the games live and then going back and watching them again and talking to a lot of smart individuals who either played in this league or have covered the league for a long time, tell me the player who has exceeded your expectations most through the first two wins.
Well, I mean, Sam Darnold, I think.
I figured he was the obvious one. I could have said outside of Sam Darnold, but I didn't want to take it away if Darnold was your pick.
Well, there are a few. I mentioned Jahad Ward. Jalen Naylor is definitely one of them, although, he had such a tremendous training camp that I thought if he does any percentage of this when they get to the actual games, then they're going to have a dangerous wide receiver, and they have. That catch he made on the third down with the back shoulder throw, that's not an easy catch. I don't even know how you really see the ball and then flip around and grab it like that. Just incredible work there. He is such a great ball tracker, and he's got great speed. And to lose Addison and not fall off in your passing game is a really big deal, because I think we all thought, man, Addison goes down, how are you going to replace him? So it probably is Jalen Naylor. But just about Sam Darnold, what has really, really impressed me is that There is a rhythm to the game that you the best quarterbacks play in. Even when it's Mahomes who's a scrambler, Allen, where it's the easy stuff is there. You drop back, you hit the back foot, the ball comes out. He has not fiddled around in the pocket. He hasn't held on to the ball too long. He hasn't looked jittery or uncomfortable. There's been a few, you know, weird plays like the accidental double motion fumble thing. But as far as the play-to-play basis, there's just a lot of stuff that's been on time and in rhythm with him that has not really been the case in his career. It's been when he was with Carolina early in his career, the Jets, it was bounce around in the pocket, bounce around too much, try to scramble, try to throw sidearm, try to whip it down the field too hard. And what Kevin O'Connell, I think, is really, really focused on is you don't have to do everything for this. I will do this for you. I will get your receivers open. They will catch the ball for you if you just stick to the script and then do something spectacular a couple times a game, like cruise the ball 50 yards in the air with no effort like he did on that 97-yard touchdown. And then it can work. And I think through at least 2 weeks, there's been a lot of signs of things that I think are sustainable that Sam Darnold can keep doing.
Great stuff as always, sir. Thank you so much. We'll talk next week.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Matthew Coller, Purple Insider. It is a must if you care about this team, like about 5 million people do in this state. Jason's next.